He cares. He actually cares about what's happening right now in this room, about what I'm praying about. It's not just that he's there and he's present, but he actually cares about what I'm saying, what I'm thinking about, and what I'm praying and what I'm singing. It matters to him.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. Well, if you have ever tried to gather people to pray, recruit people to pray, and lead people in prayer, you know the challenges that come with that unique ministry. It's not easy. It's not easy to stay faithful. It's not easy to convince people that prayer is important, especially corporate prayer, especially a lot of prayer. But that's exactly what God, I believe, is calling so many of us to pursue and to lead. If you're a presence pioneer, that means you are going to be someone who is praying and inviting other people to pray. And so that's what we want to talk about on the podcast today. So excited to have my friend Brad Stroop back on. I think this is his third time on the podcast. And if you don't know Brad from the previous episodes or from some other way, he's the director of the Prayer Room, Dallas-Fort Worth. And they, as of this recording, they're doing 22 hours a day of live worship and prayer. And he's also the pastor of a local church and leads a couple of different small networks of leaders as well. And so it's great to have Brad back on. I'm just going to pick his brain today to help you all. And before we dive in with Brad, just want to thank you all who are part of our podcast community consistently. We appreciate you engaging with us. Thank you for sharing these podcasts with your friends. Thank you for leaving comments, shooting us emails, ratings, reviews, all the different things you do to participate with us. It means a lot. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We want to help you experience and host God's presence more and more through worship and prayer. And so if you want a podcast about prayer and worship and revival and missions and leadership, then this is the podcast for you. So hit follow or subscribe wherever you're tuning in, and you can continue to track with us. Well, Brad, once again, welcome back. Yeah, awesome. So we're excited about a lot of different things. For one, Presence Pioneers has just recently partnered with you to get your House of Prayer handbook, leadership handbook, out on Amazon. And so it's out on online stores. It was already available directly from you, but now we're grateful to have partnered with you and be able to publish that out and get it out ebook form, let people order it on Amazon if they want to, that kind of thing. And so we're going to be sure to leave a description of that handbook. It's an amazing practical resource. There's really nothing other like it. For those who are leading or want to lead houses of prayer, that is the go-to resource, I would say. And so I want to encourage people to check that out. We're going to share some more resources as well as we get going here. So Brad, this season of the podcast, we're talking about what I'm calling presence-centered communities. So in the previous episode, I defined it like this: presence-centered communities consistently and corporately engage with God through worship and prayer as their primary activity. So each one of those words is intentional. They consistently and corporately engage with God through worship and prayer as their primary activity. And so I would consider houses of prayer — you can give me some pushback on this if you want — I would consider houses of prayer sort of a subset of that, in that houses of prayer are likely hosting multiple prayer meetings every week. Okay, so you could have a presence center community that all they do is one meeting a week, and maybe they do a burn on a weekend once a month or something like that. And all they're doing is worship and praying all the time, but they're maybe not doing multiple sets during the week like we would consider a house of prayer. Would you consider that to be an accurate definition?
Great definition. I think that's good language for people to kind of start to figure out, as they're feeling the nudgings of the Lord, what various expressions are out there. And I think validating the group that says, look, we just can't handle not having God's presence. We're going to get together every Friday night and be rowdy and go for it for an hour or two or three.
Yeah.
That's a valuable expression, and what a beautiful gift to every city, region, church that's happening in. And I love that.
Yeah. Awesome. So we want to zero in on the House of Prayer leaders, because that's your bread and butter, I would say. Those who want to or are currently involved in a community that's considered a House of Prayer, whether they use that term or not, multiple weekly times of worship and prayer, we'll just say that. I want to talk about the challenges of being a part of a community like this. You've been doing this now for years and years, and we'll link to the previous episodes where you share your story. We don't have to recap that every time you're on the podcast, but maybe like share some of the challenges. I'm thinking about in your heart. I'm thinking about as a leader, you know, some of the wrestles you've had, if you don't mind opening up about like, what are some of the things people keep running into trying to be in this kind of unique ministry where we're praying together week in, week out? What are some of the typical, you know, challenges people have in their heart?
Yeah, the monotony for sure.
The monotony.
One or two on their perspective, and then one or two from my perspective.
Oh, that's good.
So I think from the ones that are in meetings, it's the monotony of it because, you know, if you just got one rowdy prayer meeting a week, you don't need much structure. You can come into that and just kind of by like sheer willpower and grit, you can kind of like get rowdy and go for it for an hour or two. Mm. The challenge with the house of prayer environment is we're not talking about one a week. We're talking like one a day or two or five.
Yeah.
And when you start talking about that, you're using different spiritual disciplines. You're having to really engage in like faith. I believe God is on the other end of this conversation and he's really there and he likes me and it's worth it. Mm. Even though I'm having a bad day and it's raining outside, you know, it's just this, the normal sadness of life and just things that hit, you know, but so no, I'm going to show up and do it again. It's a different heart posture. There's a measure of like grit required to keep going because you're not always going to be feeling awesome about it. But if you're making the commitment to the Lord that you're going to do these prayer meetings, that it's more of an audience of one thing, serving him, than it is, I'm going to go and enjoy a prayer meeting.
Right.
I hope I enjoy the prayer meeting, but that's not actually why I'm there today. Not as my primary. It takes a little bit of like setting yourself for the long haul pace because people who like prayer and like worship, they get into the house of prayer environment. And sometimes it's surprising how challenging it is to do it again and again and again, day after week, after month, after year. And so I think the monotony causes each person to have a reach in their heart to push back against that monotony. Otherwise it just steamrolls you. Mm. You can overcome it, but you won't overcome it by default. You're going to actually have to reach and go, okay, how am I going to engage fresh today? What do I do in prayer meetings when my heart's feeling a little waning and I'm not really feeling it? You've got to have some tools in place. And so I've seen a number of people respond in various ways, some good, some bad, some good at first and then bad later in regard to that monotony. And so I think that's a big challenge for people. And the second point, I would say the continual pressure of the tyranny of the urgent in time. People are always driven in our culture, often driven by, you know, what else they've got on their agenda, what else is coming up this week. And prayer meetings are normally the first thing to go. I mean, when you're looking at your list of things that you've got on your agenda for the week, you're like, well, I cannot go to the prayer meeting. That way I can get this extra thing done.
Yeah.
And that can wind up becoming habit that you start cheating it a little and then you start cheating it a lot. And eventually it's not a priority because we really are in a hidden ministry in the house of prayer where we go into a little room. Typically it's a small room that's not super well attended. You're not talking about hundreds of people in the prayer meeting most of the time.
Yeah.
And you've got to engage faith and remind yourself, I'm doing this because he's worthy. There is a good work that's happening in my inner man in the process. But a lot of times there are those rigors and those challenges. And so it really is a faith fight. Reminding yourself what the word says, having a variety of ways that you engage the Lord in prayer meetings so that you can keep going for the long haul. So I've got some thoughts on how I personally handle it too, but I wanted to give you room, any thoughts you had or feedback on any of that.
No, that's so good. Yeah. The monotony of it. It's a different kind of spiritual muscle, so to speak. I mean, I remember even as a worship leader, you know, the first time my wife and I just said, we're just going to do every morning. We had gotten a building. We had never really done a house of prayer. We said, we're just going to 10 a.m. We're going to show up, do an hour and a half of worship and prayer. If no one else is there, we're going to do it. And it's like, even as a worship leader, it's like you run out of songs, you know, it's like, oh, well, I already did all these this week. Whereas typically if you're leading once a week, you can go, okay, what are the handful of songs that are like really burning in my heart? If you got to do an hour and a half a day or hour, 2 hours a day, you're like, I'm sick of all these songs and I don't have time to learn more songs because I'm doing all these meetings already. And so you've got to find new things to do. And in the same way in prayer, you're like, I've already prayed all my prayers. I've already given all my requests. Like, what am I doing now sitting in the room? What's happening? And so it is challenging, but you do, if you stay in it, you do feel those roots going down deep and it develops something.
If as a worship leader, okay, I need to learn one new song a month. I can't not. I have to, you know? And as a prayer person, you're in the room and it's like, okay, here are 10 different ways I can engage with the Lord. Write them out on a little piece of paper. That way it's a list. It's a menu.
Right.
You know, for you to be able to look at. And then maybe even some routines of like, typically when I walk in the room, I engage the Lord in worship for the first 30 minutes. And then I pray through some lists. And then I read the Bible. And then I pray out loud on the mic of a little bit. Kind of come up with some patterns. But you don't develop all that overnight. That does take some time. So excellent point.
Yeah. And as a leader, if someone's wanting to lead a ministry like this, obviously you can't lead people where you're not going, where you haven't gone. I mean, that's just leadership 101. And so, yeah, developing that in you first is really important. I love that. Any variety of, you said there's a variety of ways to engage. I mean, what, like if there's boredom, just practically, like what do you do?
Yeah. So I think the problem is by the time you're bored, you're already stuck. Mm. So this is all preemptive efforts.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Because by the time you're bored, you're kind of in a bad mood and it's hard. But if you have a plan ahead of time, so, you know, what I encourage people to do is come up with 10 things you can do in a prayer meeting. Mm. Take communion, if you've got that ability. You know, pray through some apostolic prayers, you know, on the mic. Engage in the prayer meeting that way. Have a list of things that are like your personal prayer list stuff, the things you're contending for in your personal life and in your family's life. Have a Bible reading plan where it's like, okay, every prayer meeting I go into, I'm going to read a psalm, a proverb, and a chapter in the New Testament, something. Come up, whatever you got. Come up with a list of ways to engage, not to mention the corporate worship aspect, you know, of the prayer meetings, but come up with a list of ways and come up with more ways than you're going to have time to do in one meeting so that you actually have got a little bit of variety. One of the things for me, I love to pace back and forth and just pray simple phrases back and forth to the Lord, just again and again. But I love to pace and do that. I love to ask him questions in a prayer meeting and sit and just kind of wait and listen to journal. I mean, there's a long list of ways to engage the Lord in a prayer meeting.
Yeah, pray in tongues. Yeah.
If you've got that list made by yourself already, then you walk into the room and you're bored and you pull out your list and you go, oh, well, three of these sound boring right now, but that one and that one I can do and my heart will come alive.
Hmm. Yeah, no, super helpful. I love the thought about being preemptive, not waiting till you hit the wall before you try to come up with a solution. Hey guys, this is Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider joining Presence Pioneers Premium, our brand new subscriber community. Paid subscribers will get exclusive premium content such as bonus podcast episodes, exclusive articles, early releases, and more. Presence Pioneers will be releasing its first e-course in 2024 with many more to come. And the Presence Pioneers premium subscribers will always have full access to the entire library of online courses. Visit media.presencepioneers.org or click the link in the description to join today. You can become a premium member today for an introductory price of only $5 a month. When the price goes up in the future, as our library of resources grows, you can stay subscribed at the original price. If you've enjoyed our podcast for a while, becoming a premium member is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this podcast and partner with Presence Pioneers in equipping the church with resources for day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today. There was another phrase when you were talking earlier I'd love for you to expound on. You kept saying, remind yourself. And that phrase just kind of stuck out to me a couple of times because I think that is a huge battle. How do you, as a leader or even just someone who's wanting to develop this spiritual discipline of being a part of a house of prayer, how do you remind yourself? What are you reminding yourself of?
Great questions. Yeah. I'm reminding myself he's real. I'm really talking to a real person. That's so important because if you're just going through religious motions, I go to prayer meetings, I do my thing, I go home. You're not encountering a person. Like, he's got to be real. And so I know it sounds so simple. It's like, that's basic Christianity. How did we get saved if we didn't get saved to a real person? But reminding ourselves he's real. Second point for me is he's paying attention. He's watching right now. He sees me right now. Mm. Right now. This second. He sees us on this call. He sees me in the prayer room. He hears me. He doesn't always talk back, but he is there and he is watching. He's paying attention. Another point that I'd kind of, the 1-2-3 punch for me is he cares. He actually cares about what's happening right now in this room, about what I'm praying about. It's not just that he's there and he's present, but he actually cares about what I'm saying, what I'm thinking about, and what I'm praying and what I'm singing. It matters to him. And if it matters to him and he's real and he's here, well, then all of a sudden now I'm in a prayer meeting with the most incredible person in the universe. And he's engaged and he's paying attention to me and he likes me. And now I can engage because I'm no longer going through a religious duty. You know, one of the things that I think is unhelpful in a lot of settings for us as Westerners is to think about the subject of prayer as a spiritual discipline. Because if we think about it as a discipline, and it's one of the things I got to do in order to be a good Christian, I think there's only so far we can go with that. But if we think about prayer and worship as dialogue with God, and I sing it, he hears it and he smiles. I'm like, I just made him smile. This is great. You know, or I pray it, he's listening and he's leaning in and he's engaging. Man, that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to remind myself of those things instead of, oh yeah, I got to be a good Christian. I got to read, you know, oh, I got to be a good Christian. I got to pray. I mean, if it's just an ordinance, if it's just discipline, I think we miss it. And so those are the things I'm trying to remind myself and the folks that I'm leading. I'm trying to get us thinking that way.
So good. Yeah. And it's amazing how quickly we can forget those things. You're just in the rigor of activity or even activity of prayer. And sometimes it just, you stop and you go, wait, God is actually here. He's actually listening and he actually cares. And it's amazing how much that shifts your emotions and your attitude in those moments.
Which is why I use the word remind myself, because it's not like it's new information. Right. I mean, we know those things, but we've got to be reminded because we had a day. Mm-hmm. And that day probably had distractions and disappointments and exciting things, but all of it takes us away, if we're not careful, from that basic reality that I just think we need so desperately. And so, I think that's helpful.
Yeah, I agree. And it's amazing how many times God tells his people, especially Israel, to remember who he is, remember what he's done for us, remember the truth of his word. And I think that's related to the idea of thanksgiving, that we give thanks. We remember what he's done. We recognize what's going on. And I think that's part of why we enter his gates with thanksgiving, is because we just have this awareness of his presence. Oh yeah, he's here. He's with us. He's been with me through all these things that I was just going on with my life and I didn't realize that God's grace was in these moments. I would just encourage people, give God thanks. If you're feeling a little dry, it can really, really be helpful and just kind of a way to remind yourself of who God is, what he's done, his activity and presence in your life. So
great thing to add to that list of things to do in a board prayer meeting.
Like, yes.
Say 10 things you're thankful for until one of them catches and then your heart's actually thankful.
Yeah.
Now you're engaged in a conversation with the Lord about, oh yeah, you didn't do that for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I did want to circle back on one. Yeah. So I was mentioning kind of the ones for everybody coming around, but then I've also just some things for me that have been challenging. You know, one of those has been the monotony that caused the person I really liked to stop coming around anymore. Mm. And now I've got that ache of loss of not just loss of a person that was praying, but a loss of friendship in the fight. I mean, we were in it together a minute ago in the context of prayer meetings and probably still in relationship, but I don't get to see them like I did. They're not in the prayer meetings. They're not adding the strength that they were to the prayer meetings anymore. And it's one of those constants that I just think it's important for prayer leaders, if we can call them that, directors of houses of prayer, Crane Church pastors. It's an important reality to recognize that more than likely the people that are with you today aren't going to be all with you 3 years from now. And 3 years from that, it'll be a different group. There'll still be some, but there's a lot of people that come into the house of prayer environment and they're there for a season. They're not in there for life. And I just remember in my early days, just assuming everybody that signed up for prayer meetings was going to be with me till the second coming.
Yeah.
I still got a couple of them. So I'm really grateful for my dudes that are still with me and a couple of the gals. But
but that's a big pinch point as a leader. Mm. And I think it's even more challenging in the prayer room than it is as a church pastor, because typically in the church environment, you're going to have some attrition. People are going to leave over time, some of them. But in the prayer room environment, the demands are higher and the attrition is higher. You're asking people to be engaged. You know, as a local church pastor, what am I asking from people? Come on Sunday and let us feed you.
Yeah.
Let us give to you and physically feed you sometimes. Maybe there's lunch afterwards.
Right.
When you come to church, you're just going to get in a lot of way. Mm. But man, when you come into a prayer room, it's the opposite. We're asking people to like give and commit and really engage. And sometimes they come to terms with their own barrenness about that, and it makes it difficult for them to keep going. And so attrition is just a really real part of all the houses of prayer that I'm aware of. And just keep your, you know, do your best to keep a stable, healthy community. But ultimately, there are going to be folks that move on, probably a lot of them. And that's just a really hard heart posture to navigate, because you don't want to hold it against them. That's the worst thing you can do. They probably moved on because half of them was probably the Lord and the other half, you know, it was probably your fault. You could have made the environment a little bit easier, clearer for them. Yeah. You don't want to get into pointing the fingers, but at the same time, you've then got to go fill those holes. You've got to figure out a way now, because they left and they were the prayer leader. They were the musician. They were the singer. And now you've got the responsibility of filling those gaps. And it really is a challenging position to live in indefinitely. Mm. I would say to me, that's the hardest part of being over a prayer ministry, is the loss of the folks, all that entails, and then the need to recruit and train and enlist and empower and envision more people to fill their shoes, knowing you're probably going to have more of it to do again here in the not so distant future, and signing up for that cycle until.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I mean, it's not good. It's hard, but it's so relatable, I think, to anybody that's been a leader. And it's so helpful. It's so important, because otherwise, man, you don't realize what's coming. And I guess just on the back end of that, being willing to grieve in a healthy way with the Lord, you know, process that disappointment with Him, let your heart get bitter or resentful or be unforgiving and all of that, all the good Sermon on the Mount.
They stuff. Were here for a season.
Yeah.
Be celebrate thankful. Their gifts, celebrate their life, celebrate what they're going on to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Super helpful. Well, hey, Brad, we're going to, you talked about having to recruit people to jump in to replace them. I want to get into that in part two of our conversation today, how to get people involved in prayer, because I know that's one of the number one practical challenges of prayer leadership, for sure, is recruiting people to come and then to stay and to be involved as much as we can. But before we shift into part two, I wanted to give you a little bit of space to share about some of the resources that are available. I mentioned the How to Build a House of Prayer handbook that you've written, and we'll have the link for that in the description. But there's also a summit coming up, and I know there's some other things that you have produced. So I just want to make those available to everybody before we shift into part two here of the conversation.
Yeah. So we've got a House of Prayer Leadership Summit coming up. It's February 19th through 22. And we can probably make a link available somehow.
For sure. Yeah.
This is for House of Prayer leaders, praying church pastors, those that are leading praying communities or want to. The ones that are kind of thinking, I want to dip my toe in the water there because that's something I'm thinking I want to do. That conference is for you as well, but it's specifically for people that are all about a lot of prayer meetings. That's what the conference is for. And it's a time of equipping. There'll be some real practical tools, a lot of connecting with other leaders in ways that we are crafting ways for those leaders to build relationship when they come together. You know, also for encouragement's sake, this is tough. And so to be encouraged. So just want to make that available to anybody that's leading a house of prayer or wants to be, and you can bring your leadership team as well. That's just kind of not for everybody that loves Jesus. I mean, it's a very specific conference for those that are in that lane. And then also something that we've been doing at our house of prayer for the last 3 years is I've been going out every month to a different house of prayer or praying church or missional community with prayer at their center. And we've been doing a culture of prayer conference. And during this conference, you know, I teach on the foundations of night and day prayer in the Bible, the history of the prayer movement, which is rich in ways we're not even accustomed to. And then also a little bit on the Tabernacle of David and then the global prayer movement that's happening in the earth right now and what God is doing. It's a super encouraging weekend. And we offer that actually at no cost. We do that just to be able to help out House of Prayer leaders. And then during the weekend is actually a consulting component as well, meeting with the senior leadership, the director or the pastor, whoever that might be, spending hours talking shop, nuts and bolts, how to build House of Prayer. What's your vision? How do we help you get there? What have we seen in other different environments? And at this point now, we've done 38 months of this in a row. So with 38 different locations, 38 different senior leaders, cities, you know, it's been so fun. So I feel like we've gotten a good picture of what's happening. And we like to offer this to praying churches and houses of prayer just as a way to be able to help them. So if that's something that anybody's interested in, they're more than welcome to reach out to me about that.
So awesome. Yeah. Well, I encourage anyone who's doing a house of prayer, leading a house of prayer, to engage, come to the summit, get the consulting, get the handbook. If you're thinking about wanting to start a house of prayer, get a copy of the handbook. It's so helpful and practical. And I got a copy of it at some point in my journey, but not early on. And I wish I had it in the earlier years before when I was simply just trying it and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of pioneering sometimes. But well, Brad, this has been awesome. I want to encourage you guys. Look, here's what I'm going to ask Brad in part two. I'm going to say, how do we get people to show up to our prayer meetings? And how do we fund prayer ministry? I think those are probably two of the most common challenges for people that are trying to lead prayer ministry is how do we get people and how do we get money? And we don't have it all figured out, but we're going to talk about it. And we'd love for you to tune in to part two. And we will have the link to that in the description as well. Thanks, Brad. This has been awesome.
Yeah.